are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. And following the Timberwolves' loss to the Bucks on Monday night, the Minnesota Timberwolves are now 4-2 following that blowout loss. It was their second consecutive game without Karl Anthony Towns, who wrapped up his two-game suspension on Monday, and he will be back in action on Wednesday as the Wolves take on the Grizzlies in Memphis and look to avoid what would be their first official losing streak of the season after winning their first three games, losing one, winning on Saturday, and then losing on Monday night against the Bucks. Incidentally, the 76ers lost their first game of the season on Monday night in their second game without Joel Embiid, who also was suspended for two games. Devin Booker had 40 points, and old friend Ricky Rubio helped out his good buddy Cat by sticking it to the Sixers with 21 points, 10 assists, and 7 rebounds as the Suns defeated the Sixers. So that is a little bit of good news, I guess bad news, because a Western Conference team that currently is kind of hot on the Wolves' tail did win a game, but good to see Rubio have a good game in defeating the Sixers. When it comes to the Wolves, the Timberwolves did lose by 28 points against the Bucks on Monday, but did show quite a bit of fight early in the game. The Wolves only trailed by 3 at the end of the first quarter and nearly got in a halftime down by 5 before an extremely weird play unfolded at the right before the buzzer of the second quarter. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Ultimately, the Wolves just couldn't slow down Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Giannis just had another massive night, which of course shouldn't be a shock from a reigning MVP. Giannis had 34 points on 14 of 19 shooting. He missed 5 shots. All 3 of his three-point attempts were misses. So if you take out those, he was 14 of 16 on two-point attempts and pitched in 15 rebounds, 6 assists, did have 3 turnovers in 27 minutes. He was only 6 of 11 from the free throw line. But he got to the rim pretty much at will. He had 4 offensive rebounds, you know, cleaned up some of his own misses. And it was as the Wolves were trying to get back into the game in the third quarter when the Wolves gave him some space to knock down mid-range jumpers. He hit a couple near the top of the circle above the free throw line on back-to-back possessions for the Bucks. The Wolves were letting him take the shot, and he made the shot 2 times in a row and, you know, showed that he's still expanded his range just a little bit. I think if the Wolves had contested that shot a little bit more, then it was an okay shot to give up. But wide open, even Giannis is going to make those wide open jumpers from, you know, 16 to 18 feet out. At any rate, it was a huge game from Giannis, and the Wolves just couldn't slow him down. They tried defending him in a number of different ways. They tried opening the game with Travion Graham on him, and that was with mixed results. The Bucks didn't really go to Giannis all that much real early in the game, but then he did get going in transition, and from there kind of had his way. The Wolves did try Jake Lehman on him for a short period of time, and that went about as expected. Ultimately, Jordan Bell proved to be the closest thing to a Giannis stopper, and that's not really a thing. So I guess a Giannis slower downer, maybe, as Jordan Bell actually made him work. He did draw a charge on him and almost drew another one there at the end of the second quarter that was ultimately overturned and called a blocking foul. But Jordan Bell was the best thing the Wolves had to offer when it came to guarding Giannis, but there was no having success in guarding him. When he was off the court late in the first quarter and then for a stretch in the second quarter, the Wolves made some hay and actually kept the game within arm's reach. It was single digits all throughout the first half for the most part. And even when the Bucks built a 20-plus point lead in the third quarter, the Wolves got back within 14 points when Giannis hit the bench, and then it was back-to-back threes from Dante DiVincenzo that caused the lead to grow back to 20 points prior to the fourth quarter. So without Giannis on the floor, and of course the Wolves didn't have Towns at all in this one, but without Giannis on the floor, the Wolves played the Bucks evenly, and coincidentally or not, I guess, Giannis for the game was a plus 28. The Wolves lost by exactly 28 points. So certainly no surprise that Giannis had a massive impact on the game. But the Wolves actually didn't play all that poorly in the minutes when Giannis was off the floor. And really, for the first, 60% of the game or so, the Wolves really didn't play all that poorly, period. They had a pretty strong showing and appeared as though they had a real shot at somehow going 2-0 with Towns not in the lineup. But all things considered, at the end of the day, it really wasn't in the cards for the Wolves. Today, we're going to start by hitting the high points on the loss to the Bucks and what I believe is the key turning point in the game right before halftime. And then we'll also talk notable performances for Timberwolves in this one. The segment's originally supposed to be studs and duds, but there really wasn't anybody that struck out as having an overly positive night for the Timberwolves. And it's also hard to pinpoint the worst performers for the Wolves in this one, as it was more just a sloppy all-around game than anything else, and without any really glaring positives or negatives. I wrote up the player grades over at Dunking with Wolves, where I am one of the co-editors and a contributor at Dunking with Wolves, the fan-sided Wolves blog. I do player grades for most of the games, and pretty much everybody had somewhere between a C and a B minus, a couple of Bs sprinkled in there. Not a whole lot, again, to write home about on the positive or negative side of the ledger for any individual players, just a lot of meh performances without Towns on the floor. So, as mentioned, we're going to start by hitting a couple of high points here in just a moment from this game. And then, again, the key turning point just before halftime as well. Before we get to that, I did want to talk about Manscaped. Manscaped is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. All right, we've reached the part of the show where we go through the box score and pick out the key stat lines for the Timberwolves and talk a little bit, beyond the box score on some of those Wolves players who had the best nights for the Wolves versus the worst nights for the Wolves. And as mentioned, nobody really stuck out. The Wolves' leading scorer was Andrew Wiggins with 25 points. Their second leading scorer was Robert Covington with just 15 points. Wiggins 25, though, wasn't especially inspiring. He attempted 21 shots to get his 25 points. He was 10 of 21 from the floor. Well, he was 4 for 7 from beyond the arc. He only got to the free throw line one time, was 1 of 2 at the free throw line, had 3 rebounds, 0 assists, also 0 steals, and a couple of block shots. The 3 rebounds in 31 minutes is again, very frustrating. Wiggins has gotten a little bit away from those kind of minimum rebounding effort games with Ryan Saunders at the helm, even dating back to when Saunders was the interim head coach last season. Wiggins' rebounding numbers have just been, they've just been objectively better under Saunders than they had been under previous coaches. And, you know, I think it's well documented that the two get along really well, and Wiggins appears to be motivated well by Saunders. But in this game, even with Towns off the floor and plenty of rebounds to be had, the Wolves didn't have a single player that had more than 6 rebounds in this game. Gorgui Dieng had 6 rebounds in 17 minutes. Jordan Bell and Noah Vonleh each also had 16 rebounds in 15 minutes and 16 minutes respectively. So those three players split the minutes at the center spot for the Wolves, and they each pulled down 6 rebounds. So the Wolves had a total of 18 rebounds from the center position. And believe it or not, Josh Okogie actually led the team with 7 rebounds. I was looking at the defensive rebound category there. He led the team with 7 rebounds in 22 minutes. Beyond that, nobody really rebounded their position terribly well in this game. And that absolutely includes Andrew Wiggins, who had a team high 31 minutes. It was a pretty empty 25 points with the 0 assists. And really, it almost felt like every time Wiggins wasn't super involved early in the game, but did seem like once he began getting more involved in the offense, as soon as he touched the ball, he was essentially turning and jacking a three. Or later in the game, he actually got back to shooting some long mid-range to long-range twos that were largely contested. He had a couple of contested turnaround jumper attempts that were pretty, I think, safe to say they were ill-advised. So not a great game from Wiggins on the heels of a solid game in Washington and some good games last week. So something else to keep an eye on. And who knows? I mean, he's the type of player who, with Towns on the floor, may bounce right back and play just fine. So he was a pro in the sense that he made four threes, but a con in the sense that he didn't do much else. Robert Covington had another solid game, 15 points, four rebounds, two assists, and a steal. It was 5 of 9 from the floor, hit 3 three-pointers in 6 attempts, and a couple, again, that were tightly contested threes that he made over the defense. The Wolves just didn't have as much room to operate on offense in this game with Towns not on the floor, and that came through in their three-point shooting as a team, which we'll get to here in just a second. Some more notable individual performances. Gorgui Dieng only played 17 minutes. This just wasn't the best matchup for him. He did have 10 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. So Gorgui Dieng and Shabazz Napier tied for the team lead in assists in this game. Gorgui was 3 of 9 from the field and did miss all 3 of his 3-point attempts after making both of his long-range attempts in Washington on Saturday. Jordan Bell played 15 minutes, which was actually the lowest minutes total of everyone that played for the Wolves, but he had 12 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists in those 15 minutes and was 4 of 6 from the floor. He did have a pair of turnovers, and both of those were instances in which he was open near the hoop and a pass just clanged off of his hands and was picked up by the Bucks. I haven't seen enough Jordan Bell film in his brief career so far to know if that's something that is a consistent issue for him, but when he did catch the ball, he scored in the paint and was effective on the glass. And as mentioned in our first segment, did a very good job trying to check Giannis in this game. So kind of an up and down game from Jordan Bell. And he was also involved in that weird play near the rim near the rim at the end of the second quarter, which again, we'll get to here in just a moment. Jarrett Culver had 8 points on the heels of his first 20-point game as a pro on Saturday. He was only 3 of 11 from the floor, was 2 of 5 from beyond the arc, chipped in 4 rebounds in 24 minutes. So another high volume and relatively inefficient, or I guess not even relatively, just straight inefficient game for Culver in this one. But again, looking for a shot, being aggressive, and hopefully building up some bank of knowledge for future games. Here's hoping that this is something that helps him, that some of these garbage time minutes in both wins and losses that are blowouts will help him as he's playing more meaningful minutes in games ahead. Jake Lehman was only 2 of 10 from the field. Shabazz Napier, 4 of 12. This is just an all-around terrible offensive game for the Wolves. They shot 35.9% from the floor. Not from beyond the arc, but from the floor. They were under 36%, and they were 13 of 43 from beyond the arc, which is 30.2%. They were 19 of 22 from the free throw line, but didn't get there quite enough for that to be a big factor in this game. The Bucks attempted 30 free throws to the Wolves 22. The Wolves were also out-rebounded 57 to 47 in this game. So really nothing that looks very good. And even at halftime, most of those numbers, the three-point shooting, the free throw shooting, none of that stuff was in the Wolves' favor, but they only trailed by 7 points. And it could have been 5 points. If you didn't see the game, at the very end of the second quarter, the Wolves had made a little bit of a run. The Bucks were trying to close it on a quick run of their own to build things back closer to double digits. And Giannis was coming down the floor after the Wolves had failed to capitalize in a three-point attempt, I believe it was, and shot a little bit early, leaving the Bucks some time to get down the floor. And as everyone knows, Giannis can run the court in about 4.3 seconds or something like that. And he was taking some strides in towards the rim and was going to shoot something of a layup right before the buzzer. Jordan Bell slid in the way, saw what was happening, and took what appeared to be a charge right before the buzzer. The initial reaction was that the refs just said that the half was over, that the buzzer had sounded. They conferred, decided that it was a charge with 0.2 seconds left. They reviewed it, confirmed that it was a charge with 0.2 seconds left, which would have been the second foul at the time on Giannis. Then Mike Budenholzer, the coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, challenged the play. It was overturned. They called a blocking foul on the Timberwolves, which meant that the basket counted, which did go in, obviously. And even though the ball was still in Giannis's hand because of continuation, he got to shoot one free throw, which he missed. And then because the timer or the clock operator was confused, as the rest of us were, the buzzer didn't go off. And so there was some confusion after there was a rebound and nobody did anything with it. But the refs correctly ended the half at that point after all the confusion. The block charge call was truly a toss-up. Bell appeared to be moving a little bit, but also appeared to be in position. And Giannis did shove a knee to the midsection of Bell also. And so a charge could have been the right call. And it was a little weird to me that the officials chose to overturn the call in such a bang bang play. But I guess that's what we're going to get with this block charge situation. The fact that it's up for review now in the NBA this season. But at any rate, that was I guess it was only a 2-point swing. Could have been a 3-point swing if Giannis had made the free throw. And it also meant that there was one less foul on Antetokounmpo, who picked up two quick fouls in the third quarter, which gave him 3 for the game that easily could have been 4 had they called the one right before halftime and stuck with that call. So a little bit of a momentum swing there and just some confusion. And we're, I don't know, lots of minutes into this podcast and didn't even mention that this game started almost an hour late because the basketball, the stanchion was crooked. The actual rim, when they put a level on it, was not level. And so the Target Center operations crew was rolling out the backup stanchion and everything before they decided to just fix the one that was out on the floor. So the game actually tipped off at 7:59. Central time after a game that was supposed to start at 7 with tip off somewhere around 7:10. So really a 50-minute delay and for all intents and purposes to this game because the basket was not level. So just a weird night all the way around. Hard to get too upset at the Timberwolves for blowing this game between all the weirdness and the one game homestand and not having Towns and also just playing against Giannis and the Bucks. So certainly an up and down, you know, first half and then a second half that was entirely down in this one. The Wolves will be back in action on Wednesday night against Memphis. We're going to spend some time previewing the matchup with the Grizzlies for Wednesday's show, but did want to mention the matchup will be an intriguing one to see how the Timberwolves adjust to having Towns back in the lineup and how they choose to operate with the center position. They essentially had 3 guys splitting the minutes on Saturday and on Monday, especially on Monday, almost evenly between Gorgui Dieng, Jordan Bell, and Noah Vonleh. And each of those 3 guys brings something a little bit different to the table. Vonleh is the best defender of the group in terms of versatility. Jordan Bell's kind of the biggest and most athletic body, the perfect combination, and provides a little bit of that toughness and I guess athleticism is the best way to put it. Whereas Gorgui Dieng is the best pick and roll player of the 3 and has a comfort level with Jeff Teague after having played with him for a couple of seasons. And with the Wolves as a whole, there's certainly some comfort level between Ryan Saunders and Gorgui Dieng. Now, it's important to remember Gorgui was not part of the rotation, had only played 6 garbage time minutes over the course of the first 4 games until he had a huge game in Washington on Saturday and started again on Monday. It wouldn't be a surprise to see him out of the rotation. Now, remember, when Towns is starting at center, there's only 15 to 18 minutes to go around anyways. And for the first part of the season, Vonleh had been getting the majority of those. Bell had really only gotten some minutes towards the end of some games that were basically decided by the time he entered the game. And Bell has been really up and down. He had a pretty terrible game on Saturday in Washington when Gorgui Dieng played really well. And both players were pretty good on Monday in the loss to the Bucks. So it'd be really interesting to see how Ryan Saunders chooses to handle this, if it's a hot hand approach, if it's strictly based on matchups and what the Wolves need on either end of the floor, or if he just chooses to go right back to having Vonleh get the majority of those minutes and use Bell and or Gorgui Dieng just situationally depending on foul trouble or injuries or anything of that nature. So that's one thing to keep an eye on. Also, Travion Graham continues to start. He started every game in the regular season so far for the Wolves and has had a couple of really strong games. The Washington game, he played solidly on defense against Bradley Beal, but got into some foul trouble. He hadn't hit a 3 all season until he knocked on a corner 3 against the Bucks. So there's certainly been some pretty clear ups and downs for Trevion Graham. I guess I overstated not hitting a three for the season, but he hadn't hit one since Charlotte, which was over a week ago, and had been struggling mightily from beyond the arc and from the field in general. Trevion Graham has been pretty limited in terms of what he provides offensively, but has been solid on the glass and solid on defense, whereas Jake Lehman has had a couple of really strong offensive games, but then also some pretty poor ones. I mean, he played the second most minutes on the team against Milwaukee with 26 minutes and launched 10 shots, but only made two of them. So those are kind of the two guys that are seeing the most of those minutes on the wing. I'd be really surprised to see Josh Okogie make very many starts this season, as it appears as though Saunders likes his energy coming off the bench as a spark plug of sorts. Although we haven't seen much of that the past couple of timeouts. So here's hoping that we get back to seeing that against Memphis on Wednesday. In Towns' first game back, I would expect him to have a good game. Something that we all know about Karl Anthony Towns is that he wants to win more than anything, and he also loves to prove people wrong, because who doesn't, of course? But against a team that is that's 1-4, or I guess was 1-4 before winning on Monday night, so now is 2-4. He'll have every opportunity. Towns will have every opportunity to have a big game. He'll be going up against, I mean, it's Memphis is one of the youngest teams in the league. Jonas Valanciunas is the big man that'll be probably checking Towns for portions of the game. They've also got Jaren Jackson down low. And then coming off the bench will be the rookie Brandon Clark, who a lot of folks wanted the Timberwolves to go after in the draft. I myself thought he was a really solid prospect, but he's playing 23 minutes off the bench for Memphis. So we'll dive more into this matchup for Wednesday's show, but Towns will have every opportunity to have a dominant performance and to score some points, to do some damage on the glass. So it'll be a lot of fun to see what he has on his mind come Wednesday after missing the past two games due to the suspension. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thank you once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest story. We'll be back Wednesday morning with a preview and some midweek notes as we get ready to see Karl Anthony Towns back in action on Wednesday night in Memphis with the tip-off at 7 o'clock Central Time. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.